It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by. Later on, more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you have waited lo these many days for him to return. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop. What's up, brother man?
Woo-hoo. Happy New Year.
Woo. Happy holidays to you, brother. We kind of ducked out early on everybody. We meant to finish out that week before Christmas, that Thursday and Friday, and then I got this kind of stomach bug. And then our studio went belly up. It went completely and totally dead on us.
Wow.
So we ended up kind of going on Christmas break a couple days early.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, we typically don't do much of a Christmas break, but this year everybody was kind of out of town anyway, and my wife was demanding that we leave town. And then I not be here. So I was given no choice. I was given not even so much an ultimatum as just sort of a statement of fact.
A command, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't an ultimatum like, you have to go out of town, or it was sort of like a, you are going
right
out of town. So
yeah,
pack your crap, buddy.
That's the kind of commands wives give after about 5 years.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to pretend that, like, I can talk big, but I know who runs things. I'm not going to screw with nothing. What are the holidays like at the Roop House?
You know, it's not bad. You know, just nothing, man. I got nothing. You wait all year for it, and it's done in 15 minutes.
See, that's the thing. See, and I say this every year, but someday when I run for president, my platform is going to be that Christmas is 3 days long.
It should be.
It doesn't need to be like eight, because like Hanukkah, I mean, I'm not Jewish, so I don't know, but I suspect that you start to get burnt on that after a while.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
But 3 days, you got a day to like kind of, you know, yeah, it's here, and then a day to really be like into it, and then a day to be like, okay, and it's wrapping up, and then you move on.
Yes, I completely agree, man. That is the perfect Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
And employers have to go with that. They have to say, okay, you get 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, some of us get half days here and there. But I mean, you know, you spend so much time shopping and decorating and putting on parties and all
totally
kinds of crap, and then you don't get any chance to really enjoy it. You wake up Christmas morning after you've stuffed the tree full of crap for the kids. You wake up Christmas morning, you're 15 minutes, it's all over, and well, let's go to breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, your family's there, and you're stressed out, and grandma's into the wild turkey,
I'm into the wild turkey when the in-laws come over.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
And then the kids are running around all crazy, and then by the time you finally, everybody leaves, it's like 11:30, and
yes,
you're exhausted, and you just want to go to sleep, and then you wake up the next morning a little bit rested, ready to relax, but Christmas is already over.
Yep.
So yeah, no, I'm totally with you on that, my friend.
Right,
well,
on, baby.
If you would like to feel better, Sarah, is this a good time, do you suppose? Because really, here's
might
the thing.
Might as well.
We had you on not to impugn or belittle minimize the work you do, but A, just because we wanted to talk to you, and B, to ask about the Star Wars thing at the Rose Parade.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah.
It was. Now tell me, because I don't really know. When I go on vacation, here's the thing. When I go on vacation or when I'm off the air, like when I've been fired or when I'm just taking a couple days up, I don't crack a newspaper. I don't go on the internet for news. I don't do anything. I don't follow news at all. So I only kind of vaguely know that there was some Star Wars George Lucas parade.
Well, George Lucas was the Grand Marshal. And that all culminates around, the 30th anniversary of the first Star Wars release back in 77.
Right.
You know, the DVD releases of all that stuff. And so he was Grand Marshal. Now, I am in no way a Star Wars geek. But I got it. And plus, you know, when you see, you know, the idiots in the crowd and the Princess Leia outfits and all this away. There was some girl, she must have been a yard wide in a Princess Leia outfit.
I was going to say, those are my people, but look, the people in the sci-fi fantasy community sometimes do drastically misjudge how much skin they should be revealing.
They're nuts.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when the float comes by and they have, I don't know, 158 of those guys in those stormtrooper outfits marching, I mean, that was pretty cool.
I saw a couple photos of it, and it seemed pretty badass. It did. It really seemed very cool.
You know, and the dude who played, who walked as Darth Vader, big guy, you know, and those two dudes in red behind him, I mean, it was pretty. I'm thinking that would have been cool to be on that set.
Totally.
You know,
oh, yeah,
making those films.
Well, here's the thing. So we've been on since 11 o'clock today, and we've been so busy trying to catch up on these news stories because I don't want to be doing, like, best of 2006 lists on Friday. And so we're just trying to get all that done today. And Sarah pointed out that we haven't even really talked about what we did for the holidays. The whole show has been so askew because we spent the first 2 hours trying to catch up with Gerald Ford's dead, Saddam Hussein's dead. Everybody's dead.
Have you seen that video?
Oh, yeah. It's all kinds of disturbing. Yeah, I got about halfway through it, and I'm like, I don't really need to see this.
Yeah, you kind of squint, look through your eyes.
Yeah, that's I kind of skipped ahead. I'm like, okay, he's dead. Okay, bye.
It didn't show anything. I mean, the video is so bad, you can't really see anything.
Yeah, that's your big complaint.
Yeah, your big complaint. If you're going to do that, have a clean video in there.
Clarity's all poor on this. Well, so here's the thing. So I don't know how we want to handle this, Sarah, how we want to jump right into this, but it's been an unpleasant vehicular weekend holiday for Sarah and I.
Well, you should go first because yours is
funnier.
Better.
We talked about how it was a pretty great year for us. A lot of people complain about it, and they go, well, hope the new year's better. You know what? Our year was really great. 2006 was a great year for us. Our show came back on the air after an extended hiatus. We had a couple really great station events. We had our biggest and best ever listener party. We did a big thing with Tom Likas here. We had a huge event called this Horns Across the Hawthorne thing, which is sort of a station event that we did that was really great. I've got some side projects I've been working on. Sarah started some other stuff, some outside projects. Tim Riley's doing it. We got Scotty J, who's a new member of the show. We made him an official, member of the show, and it's been a good year. But then it all ended badly. Like, every relative anybody had died. Everything, the personal relationships were unpleasantly strained on all fronts. I'll say this right now. I was in a really black mood the last 2 weeks for no real reason, actually. And I don't typically get, holiday depression because I love Christmas. I don't get, seasonal depression or whatever. But just for some reason, the last 2 weeks, I was just kind of in this tunnel. And I was just sort of... I had what my wife would call a doom cloud, just sort of the big black drizzly cloud over your head that goes with you everywhere you go. And, I'm not saying to get sympathy. I was just down. I was just kind of down and grumpy and kind of angry and depressed and whatever. And we were supposed to go to visit my sister in Canada. And I was kind of stressed out about that. I'm like, God damn, I don't want to go to Canada. I just want to be alone, and I don't want to have to go see my nutcase family. And my sister, who, God love her, I love her, I really do. But she's become some weird born-again Christian and has gone all nutty. And she's not just... I don't have any problem with people who have...
My brother did that.
And she's like, this year she announced that they're not getting a tree because trees are idolatry. And she's just started to go... And she's like the smartest person I know. And she apparently was on the phone with my mom and made some noise about how she started to really have doubts about evolution. And creationism is making a lot more sense to her these days. And I just want to weep. Just put my head in my hands. So I didn't want to go to Canada. But then it turns out we couldn't go to Canada because, as my wife discovered, 48 hours before we're supposed to leave, you don't need a passport yet. But you do need a birth certificate. And we have no idea where our birth certificates are. Because when's the last time you would need...
I don't have mine.
Yeah, you have to have a birth certificate to go to Canada.
You can't use your passport?
I don't have a passport.
Oh.
I don't. My wife does, but I don't. And they won't require a passport for Canada for another month, and so I don't have one. She's like, but you're going to have your birth certificate. I'm like, baby, I got nothing. And, and frankly, I was a little, I didn't want to go to Canada anyway. But the idea that we had all of this month-long stress building up to this Canada trip, and then only to find out that we couldn't go, so it was like a month of stress for nothing. So my wife and I finally decide, she's like, well, you know what, we can't go to Canada, but screw it, I want to go somewhere. So let's just pack up and go to Seattle for a few days. We'll get a hotel and just chill out and just relax. And I'm like, fine, okay, we'll do that. We'll just go to Seattle. So we are leaving for Seattle the Friday before Christmas, I say, Jim Roop now realizing he's just the victim of a long monologue by me. We're getting ready to go to Seattle the Friday before Christmas. It's Friday, and I have the day off, because we called it a week early. And so I'm laying in bed. I'm sleeping in. I'm thinking, okay, well, you know what? Work is done for 8 days. And I'm just going to go to Seattle. I'm just not going to worry about my diet. I'm going to eat badly. We'll buy some frivolous presents for each other. We'll just lay around the hotel room. We'll order room service. We'll just do a whole lot of nothing. Everything's okay. Things start lightening up today. My wife walks into the bedroom, and she says, hey, just so you know, our truck's been stolen.
Ugh.
Now, here's something you need to know. Our truck has been stolen twice before. This is the third time that this truck has been stolen. The third goddamn time.
What do you do? Leave the keys in the door and a light shining on it?
I don't even want to identify it, although what's the point? It's no longer there to mark my house or to be stolen. But I have...
Plus, everybody's driven it.
I have... your mom's like a Toyota 4Runner. apparently it's a car that only four keys were ever made for, you know. It's been stolen three times now. Once, because somebody said, is that like the truck or is that a bad neighborhood? And I was going to say it's the neighborhood, but you know what? It was stolen once from a place where my wife works, a place that has its own police force. It's been stolen three goddamn times now. So that's how I started my Christmas vacation, with one of our vehicles being stolen. That was like 12 days ago or whatever. Still hasn't come back. And thanks to the taxpayers having voted down some bond measures, when the cop is taken, and how sad is this that I've actually got a folder, because my wife's like, oh, I'll get the folder for the cops. And it's like the same folder we gave them last time. And the cops come over and they're like, is all this information still current? Same license? I'm like, yeah, they've already got all the information on file for the truck. And the cop says, oh, by the way, they cut the funding for our auto theft division, so it'll probably take three times as long to get it back. Have a good holiday.
Yeah.
And then the cops leave. So that's how I start the Christmas vacation, with my truck that has already been stolen twice, having been stolen a third time. So, and so now it's like, it's bad on several levels. That's how I start my Christmas vacation. The truck is gone. We're down, and my wife and I both have very weird work schedules, and we're down to one vehicle, and both of us working these weird 12-hour days. And it's just, that's how I started my vacation. And then I went to Seattle, and I was grumpy the entire time in Seattle. I was grumpy. I was in a bad mood. I wasn't being a very good husband. I was just being jerky about the whole thing. And my wife, and this is how pathetic I am. My wife then revealed at one point after the Christmas vacation in Seattle was over, she revealed to me that the only reason we went to Seattle, she said that she wanted to make it physically impossible for me to come to the office. That's her thing. She's like, that's why we left town. She's like, I wanted you to be physically impossible for you to go to work. Because she was just convinced that I would, that as soon as I had been sitting at home doing nothing for 2 or 3 hours, I would, like, you know, I would get in the car and come to work. Get in the car we still had anyway. And come to the office. Which is true, because I'm lame. So she physically removed me from the state so I would be incapable of coming to work. And then I just, and then I was just kind of grumpy the whole time. So that's my holiday.
Gee, man.
Sarah, would you like to share your story?
You should have another one.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. So the weird thing is, I feel more relaxed today than I did at any time during the holidays.
Yeah, I hear you.
And then New Year's, real briefly, New Year's was just, I was busy with some other stuff, and we made no plans, and we got caught in a huge traffic accident. We weren't in the accident. We got caught on this I-84 here in Portland. There was a huge accident. We ended up getting to our friend's house 2 minutes before midnight. It just felt like a whole anticlimactic thing. So anyway, so that's my... Sarah, would you like to... Just so Jim feels better about his life still?
Well, I was going to go to Bremerton on Friday. Ended up having to leave on Thursday because my grandmother died the day before Christmas Eve. And then get back to Portland. And my grandfather dies on December 31st. And it was just, I don't know, it's just been a really bad thing. And then New Year's morning, wake up, had the worst night of my life. Wake up in the morning, go out to my car. Somebody decided to spray paint a huge red anarchy symbol on my hood that's about, like, 4 feet in diameter.
And, you need those,
and it's not even an anarchy sign. It's just, it's an A with a big circle around it.
Like your Hester Prynne?
Yeah, so now I have to drive around with this huge letter A on the front of my car.
And you need to know that Sarah's got a big white car.
It's, yeah.
It's a big white car, and some jackhole just spray-painted a huge bright red letter A on her hood for no reason.
Jeez, man.
So there you go. And then everybody around us that had a grandparent, the grandparent died. The year just ended really badly for us. So Sarah's car effectively defaced, my car stolen. Sarah has two grandparents die. My wife, God bless her, has one holiday trip aborted, schedules another one, which I then ruin by being a jerk. And then we all had unpleasant New Year's evenings as well. So there you go.
Time to take the mulligan.
No, that's what I'm saying. Well, no, but see? So, but now it's like a new year. And we're starting clean. We're starting
fresh.
Yeah,
but you need a couple of days off now.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like it was the least restful holiday ever. So there you go.
And there's no holiday coming up. There's no off time coming up.
No, nothing.
No, but you know, in a weird way, that's fine because we can never take another holiday, man. We took days off, and immediately everything. I mean, James Brown dead, Gerald Ford dead, Saddam Hussein dead. I mean, everything on Earth, every news story on Earth happened while we were gone.
Yeah.
So anyway. So I know this has been a long, pointless phone call where you've just sat and listened.
It's
like,
not pointless.
It's like you're my shrink, but you're not getting paid. So
I'm getting paid by Ted.
Good. Well spotted. So there you go. So anytime you're feeling kind of down about the way your holiday went, there you go. At least you didn't have your car stolen, to the best of my knowledge. So
I had a great holiday.
And if you see somebody driving along in a 4Runner, just tell them thanks for me. Tell them to return it when they're done. Try to put some gas in it this time.
Hey. And if you see someone looking like an idiot driving around a big white car with a red A on it, it's me.
Thank you. I'll wave to you.
Okay. Right.
Is there a possibility you'll get that truck back, Rick?
I got it back the first two times. Because
it gone this long before that?
No, but again, the cop told me that it's like the taxpayer cut, the tax cut is such that they had to they pared down, as they say, the vehicle theft division. So there just aren't as like however many guys were working in the auto theft division before. There's like a third of that now. And so the deal is they don't trash it like the first two times. They don't trash it. They don't destroy it. There's nothing to steal. They don't break anything. It's meth heads, and what they do is they daisy chain it. They'll steal it, drive it till it runs out of gas. Because they always find it, and then a new one stolen like a block away. So they'll drive it, dump it, steal a new one. Drive it, dump it, steal a new one.
And now, does your insurance company do anything for you while this is going on?
Because
do they give you a car to drive or anything?
It's a pretty beat up truck, and so we don't have theft insurance on it. Although at this point, maybe we should because it's just we paid. It's just it's an old beater. It's an old beater truck, just to haul around hiking stuff, but. Yeah, this is it. Screw that. We're getting a new truck. So that's it. But, it's just the inconvenience of having to wait a couple weeks to get it back because now we got to make do with one car.
Not only that, but you feel violated, man. Something of yours was taken.
That's the thing. Violated. And, like the last time I get it back, and there's, like, some guy has left, like, all of his crap, and there's a bunch of cigarettes and, like, chewing gum stuck in the inside.
Another guy's pair of underwear under the bed.
Yeah, and violated and by an idiot. I mean, really, that you have been beaten by just someone with the tiniest brain on Earth. You know what I mean? It's the victim of a puny brain.
Brother, I'm praying for you.
God, it's the worst. So, all right. Well, Jim, believe it or not, just having you on and just being able to, like, voice our tale of woe upon you, I think has made us feel better.
I'm just here to help, sir.
All right. Thank you, man. Well, we will talk to you, if not tomorrow, sometime soon. We'll keep it on the sunny side of life.
Keep your chin up, buckaroo.
Thank you, Jim Roop.
All right, buddy.
All right, there you go. Thank you. All right. Fantastic. So there you go. Back after this, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Sound of State Radio. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming along. And so forth. So that truck thing just put me in a bad mood for the hut. But we stayed at a really nice hotel, like two blocks from the public market. You know, went out, bought some frivolous things, ate some bad food. We had a Christmas dinner at Ruth's Chris, which was really nice. But the truck just, and I let it put me in a bad mood. And by the way, speaking of letting it put me in a bad mood, I should know real quickly before we throw it to Tim here, that I should say this as far as New Year's Eve went, because we ended up going over to Aaron's. And when I say it was anticlimactic, there's nothing to do with Aaron's. I mean, Aaron was saying it was a great time going to his place. I mean, it was very, I think Laura had a great time. It was just like, we got stuck in this traffic, and we showed up at, like, 2 minutes to midnight, and so I just felt like the bad guest. Like I felt like the guy who just shows up. I felt like the guy who just shows up at, like, the final moment of the wedding just so he can get the cake.
Absolutely like Dick Clark.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I felt like a bad drop-in guest. Like, I'm not going to show up for any of the rest of the party. I'll show up for just the firework and the food and leave. So I just felt like a bad New Year's Eve guest. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
We have a secondhand New Year's Eve anyway, because the actual New Year's Eve traffic at the ball occurs 3 hours earlier in New York.
It's true. So this is a hand-me-down New Year's Eve.
So everyone is fast asleep by that time on the East Coast.
Did you see the Dick Clark thing?
I did, yes.
Was it terrible? We didn't have it on.
Well, I mean, he's okay until he tries to smile.
Or move his mouth in any way. Did he speak?
He spoke.
Was it like a lot of clenched teeth?
He said hello and whatnot, and then he counted down from 20 to 1. So he did okay with it. He didn't leave on one number. And he was able to do that. Then he kissed his wife.
Boy, that is she still looking like she's 500 years age?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a weird...
Well, he's almost looking as old as she is now.
Oh, really? So is it... So has it
it's caught up.
So it's the portrait is no longer
the
young?
The oldest teenager.
No, really. That's too bad that the smiling didn't work out well for him.
And then, then of course, they had the CNN show, which I watch, which is live starting at 8. So by 9 o'clock, you have your New Year's over with, so you can turn back on C-SPAN and enjoy the rest of the evening.
It was really low-key at Aaron's place. It was great, but I mean, here was the scene at Aaron's house. If you want to know, this was me in a nutshell. And again, it was a great time. It's just that I think I let the whole holiday season put me in a bad mood, and so I was just I was kind of the party pooper. I was the wet blanket. And so at Aaron's house, there's my wife. And then there's Aaron's wife, Jen, and their friend, Kat. And they're all there, and they're playing, like, they're all just blind drunk and playing Tetris. And then Aaron and his friend Aaron and Diana from downtown, and they're all blind drunk and playing Magic the Gathering at a card table, which is fantastic. And I'm on the couch being a sullen guy, like, stupid truck and thieves, goddamn, you know, and they're all there going, my orc and my bag of holding, I swing a +5 fire sword. And they're totally having a great time, and it's just me being jerky. So
I fell asleep at 10:37.
See, they asked me, by the way, they said, what's Tim Riley's big, you know, New Year's Eve plan? And I said, going to bed at 9 p.m.,
no,
as always.
I was watching Book Notes, and I fell asleep.
That's fantastic.
That was after I watched the East Coast New Year's Eve.
See?
But I enjoyed it. I would watch the ball fall. What more is there to do?
No, see, but that
we
makes...
We don't drop a ball here.
That makes me feel great, though. That like, in a changing world, in a time of uncertainty, I know that you are in bed at 10:30 on New Year's Eve.
10:37.
Makes me feel good. It's no.
Then on New Year's Day, I started working on my bookkeeping.
It's like it's a little piece of certainty that I can cling to.
Right. It makes me feel good.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Iraqi government figures show civilian deaths in Iraq reach record levels in December. More than 1,900 Iraqis died last month alone, 3.5 times the number killed in January 2006. And, of course, the number of U.S. soldiers killed in Iraq has reached 3,000. American and Iraqi investigators try to find billions of dollars in illegal oil profits belonging to Saddam, hoping to get some information from his family members. FBI and U.S. Treasury officials say they're looking for $4 billion Saddam allegedly earned from an oil-for-trade deal with Syria.
Maybe we can ask him about it. Oh.
Nope.
No. Well, it's a good thing we executed him right away so that we can't find any of that or learn what he had to say. Good work, everyone.
Hundreds of Sunni Arabs gathered to show their anger. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Sunni Arabs. Gathered to show
Sunni
their
Sunni Arabs. We're happy to be here
for Saddam Hussein today, as the Iraqi government promised an investigation, well, as good as it can get there, into the film footage of Shiite officials taunting him at the gallows. These sectarian passions have pushed Iraq towards civil war. You mean, where was it before?
They're pushing it, so one of these days, civil war might happen.
The president is pondering new strategy for the unpopular war. New figures from the Iraqi Interior Ministry show the number of civilians killed in political violence reached a record high in December. Hailed by Washington as a milestone for Iraqi democracy, we're hailing an execution.
Yeah, nothing says democracy like killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hailing an execution.
Well, it's what we do.
Well, he wasn't a great guy, but I don't know.
Harry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, you know, I was sitting here listening to you guys, and I was thinking about Sarah's car, and, you know, the red A on her hood, thinking back to the scarlet letter, maybe it stood for adulteress.
Yes, you're the first person to suggest that.
I mean, I know nothing about her personal life.
No,
I mean, it was just
maybe
one
they
of
thought
those
your car belongs to somebody else. Maybe your sister's an adulteress.
Oh, well, my sister. Oh, yeah, somebody who moved from Seattle to Portland.
Maybe.
Well, that's what I thought, too, but I'm not committing the act of adultery, so I don't know.
No, I've seen it. No, see, because here's the thing.
It looks like a drunk person trying to make an anarchy symbol and didn't know how to do it.
That's what I'm saying. And you sent me a picture message of that. I didn't respond to it, but I got it, and it was like on New Year's Eve, and it was a picture of you and Lisa, like, giving the thumbs up, flanking your car, like, hey, look at this. And I thought, all right, thank you, that's Harry. And I, Harlot, that's Harry. No, and I thought that you guys had done it. Like, you're sort of like, Sarah sent me this picture of her, like, like over the car that has been spray painted with a big A, and I'm like, oh, look at that. They got all drunk and spray painted her
car.
No,
it was the cherry on the top of a horrible evening. Yeah. And I woke up in the morning, I'm like, oh, I'm in bed by myself. Why am I hungover? What happened last night?
Why am I alone? Why is there an A in my car? What? Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is that I got home on New Year's Eve, and we ran into our next-door neighbors, mm-hmm. who you know.
Yeah.
And they were... Well, we're wading deep into something. It's going to take too long of an explanation.
I want to hear about it.
Wait, and they were what?
Well, I'm just... No, this is... We should do news, because this is... Because it's going to take us... We don't
well,
have
I'm going to finish this up quickly, because I want to hear it.
Okay.
This, one last story, and that's
You
it.
Know what I'm talking about. You know who my next-door neighbor is,
yeah.
and you know what that is going to lead to.
That's a lady who doesn't seal the toilet paper.
Did she
yes.
comment on what had happened?
No, but she was like, we missed you with the thing. And I'm like,
oh
it sounded... And she's like, it was a great time for everyone.
Except Sarah.
See? That's a tease. All right, it's Tim Riley.
One last story, and then that's it. I want to hear these stories. A Maryland man charged with beating up his fiancé just hours after popping the question on New Year's Eve.
God bless us, everyone.
Stephen Maba and Victorine Thibault became engaged at a party in York County, Pennsylvania. Shortly after midnight in Mabar's car, the couple began arguing.
But his name is Babar?
Mabar. M-B-A-H. Mabar.
Okay.
The two got into the car, and Maba allegedly struck Thibault... T-A-B-O-H.
Are you speaking in Abba Dubba language?
Well, Mama,
are you talking like
with a steering wheel lock. She was knocked unconscious and taken to the hospital for treatment. Maba was arrested and held on $25,000 bail.
I guess I shouldn't be laughing.
No. There's no word on whether the couple is still engaged to be married. And that's it for the news, and now let's get to the juicy stuff.
Nah.
What? Oh, well, see, you can't say
okay,
that.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Well,
no, mine's
I just... News, what
I
happens?
Just, I want to hear...
Do we have another break?
No, we just have one more.
We got all these calls. Well, here's... Do we, you tell me, Sarah, because are we going to have time to even get to this, or should I wait till tomorrow?
Oh, we can start it a little bit,
if I wait till tomorrow, will it have resolved itself?
No.
Okay.
No, because the thing that needs to be resolved isn't going to happen with my financial stature.
I'll just say this really quickly. Here's what I'll do. I'll talk about part of it. And then we'll take these calls, and so forth. This is I knew today was going to be a little messy anyway because there's all this news to get to in the Golden Scripture. So here's the thing. So my next door neighbors, should I use their names?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Well, my next door neighbor,
High and Lois.
High and Lois. That's thank you, Tim. So my next door neighbors, High and Lois, and they are the ones who introduced themselves, and they're listeners. And they introduced themselves by coming up and saying, hey, we're not going to steal your toilet paper. That's them, because they heard that the previous tenants next door stole my toilet paper because they were a bunch of drugged out their weasels. And so, oh, by the way, for Christmas, my new neighbors, High and Lois, for Christmas, they gave us a big bag of toilet paper. So there you
that
go.
That is endearing.
That's the way that you say Merry Christmas in the Southeast, right there. That is the Southeast Portland Christmas gift. So, our next-door neighbors, Laura and I's next-door neighbors, High and Lois, High, the man, he's in a band. And he's in a band that was playing at Satyricon on New Year's Eve. Also playing at Satyricon on New Year's Eve was Nate's band, Sarah's boyfriend Nate. And we had been invited, and this, our next door, I'm just going to say Megan, our next door neighbor Megan, she's like, hey, you know, my boyfriend Mike is playing, and Nate's going to be playing too, and you ought to come out to Satyricon, and it's a way to, you'll be supporting, you know, Sarah's boyfriend and my boyfriend, and so I'll put you on the list and whatever. And I'm like, well, maybe we'll do it. But the evening was so hectic, and Laura and I were both just kind of having a bad day. And we're like, well, you know what? We just don't want to go to a place that's loud and whatever. We would not be very much fun. So let's go do something, you know, a little more low-key. Because we had always planned to kind of end up at Aaron's. But our thing is like, well, you know, do we want to go to this rock show beforehand? And we decided not to. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. We go to Aaron's. Laura's a great time. I'm a buzzkill. Evening comes to an end. We go home. As we're home, we're walking the dog. We're walking Max. And Megan and Mike get home, my next-door neighbors. And Megan comes in, she's like, you missed a great time. It was fantastic. Everyone had a blast. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe next year. Yeah, we just kind of got behind and, you know, whatever. So I come in today and I talk to Sarah. And I'm like, hey, I heard it was a great time at Satyricon and everyone had a blast, Sarah. Isn't that true?
Oh.
Did everyone have a blast at Satyricon, Sarah?
Oh, no.
Why not?
No, because Nate and I got into a huge fight. This always happens.
I don't believe
it. I know.
Hearing.
Can you believe it? I don't have a stable relationship. Wow. It's a shocker.
This is Perez Hilton stuff.
Really, it's true.
It's just so juvenile.
I want to draw little coke lines on your face.
I got... Okay, so Nate told me that he wanted me there for a show. So I went. So we recruited a bunch of our friends, went down to Satyricon for the show. I'd been to a party beforehand, having a great time, rode the bus downtown with like 15 drunk people. It was really fun. So got to the club, got there. Nate's wasted. They're getting ready to go on stage. When we had talked before, he had said that he was going to dedicate one song to me. And turns out that his drunk ass decided that it would be funny to take the song that one of the other bandmates had written about an ex-girlfriend, and it's called Shut Your Mouth, and decided to dedicate that song to me, thinking it was hysterical.
Oh.
So after he got off stage, in front of a crowd. It was humiliating. I was humiliated, especially in front of a bunch of friends. Oh, he thought it was funny. And I'm like, whatever. So anyway, we were talking. I got mad. It got heated. Threw a beer at him, in pure white trash style. And then he decided to throw one back at me. That was midnight. My midnight consisted of me running outside of the Satyricon through a fire door. Standing outside. I might have. I don't know. I just ran around the corner.
Jesus.
Yeah, then woke up the next day and there's a big red spray painted Nate. But the clincher of that is, all right, so Nate was carrying his cell phone.
Now, this is his brand new LG, because Chris Morris has the same phone. This is his LG phone. Yeah.
That would be hard to flush down the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is his phone. And Nate had it in the front pocket of his hoodie.
Right.
So I threw a beer, or maybe two, at him. And so he continues to use the phone. This is like right around midnight. I get a text message from him at 1:30 in the morning saying, good night, I hope you're happy, blah, blah, blah. See him the next morning. He tells me that I broke his phone and it's not working.
Oh, that the beer...
Yeah, even though he was text messaging me an hour and a half later. But he was trying to get it to work and it wasn't working. So he said that I need to buy him a new phone. But in the meantime, he decided to dip his phone, because he's listening to you and he didn't get the proper instructions. Decided to dip his phone in a cup full of rubbing alcohol. So now this is what it looks like. So
the screen is all destroyed.
Yeah, so the screen and everything is completely destroyed.
Does it work at all?
It doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
So instead of actually researching and like taking this down to the place to see what happened, he dunked it in a bowl of rubbing alcohol. Now, I've been researching these phones. They're $400. I do not have $400 to pay
for. And so he's thinking you owe him a phone.
Yeah, he's sitting there right now, like, writing me, saying that I need to buy him a phone immediately. And I will, because I know he paid $150 for the phone rebate, so I'm like, I'll give you $150 and you can buy a phone with that.
Yeah.
But he said that he wants this exact phone. He expects me to pay $400, and he doesn't have proof that I actually messed it up. Because when I saw it the next morning, it did not look
well. But it was working. You threw the beer.
Oh, I know.
How many beers was it?
It was two.
You threw two beers at him, like in rapid succession.
No, not in a cup. But he was getting, it was a show, and they were getting beer cans thrown at them all night. Right. Anyway, so it wasn't the thing.
I would never take anything valuable on stage with me at a punk show.
Yeah, well, it wasn't on stage. He was sitting at a bar, and so he was mad. I was so frustrated that he had said that about me on stage. I was just really mad.
He dedicated a song to you called "Shut Your Mouth."
Yeah. Yeah, and...
maybe you couldn't remember the words of Merry Christmas, darling.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So I was upset, blah-de-de-blah, one thing leads to another.
God, and so when you say you threw beer...
And I didn't throw it at his... So I really remember...
Cups of beer?
Yeah, like a pint glass. I clearly remember throwing it in his face.
Ugh.
And I know that that's not anywhere near the vicinity of his pocket that he says. Plus, he was using his phone an hour and a half later. So I want to know.
When I got my phone wet, it killed it immediately.
That's what I've always heard. I didn't think that. He said that it's taken a long time to seep in, that it took an hour and a half. But what I think seeping in is the jar of,
rubbing alcohol.
Rubbing alcohol.
You're supposed to use 100% denatured alcohol. That's the thing. And
you're probably not supposed to dip the screen in it.
Well, and it's obvious, and it's the battery compartments, and it's obviously that's where the water gets. But it's a measure of last resort, obviously, to save a phone. If you soak it in denatured alcohol.
So you're supposed to soak the entire thing.
You can, because I mean, look, it's not good for the phone, like the buttons and the screen and the whatever, but it'll get the water out. And if you then dry it or put it in the sun, it will work. I mean, it will save most phones. It's not ideal, but if your alternative is the phone is dead and the phone's not going to work anymore, that's what you can do.
Well, and that was my thing this morning. So I talked to him. I'm like, drop off the phone at my house. I will bring it to Verizon. If it shows that there's beer in the keys and that I did it to your phone, I will gladly replace it. And then he drops it off like this.
Oh, with the screen all trash.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's BS. This has been obviously submerged in something. The sticker's colored.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. So now I don't know what to do. And he's screaming at me to get him a new phone. And it just seems really impractical that it was working an hour and a half later if it's my fault.
Right.
So I don't know what to do. I don't know if there's any cell phone people out there who would know, if, like me, if it slowly seeps and would, like, kill the phone after an hour and a half. Anyway, that was my night, and then woke up, and my car was spray-painted, and...
Do you know where Nate was between midnight and 6?
He was playing. Right. My roommate, no, I guess it happened before midnight because my roommate actually called me and told me about it.
All right, then. So you wanted juice, Tim, and there it is.
Gee whiz.
See what you're missing out on by going to bed early?
10:37.
God.
I wish I would have. I hate New Year's, and every time I go out. And the most embarrassing thing is, like, all my friends were there, and, like, everyone saw it, and it's just...
I'm going to tell you, the year, for Sarah and I anyway, for a lot of people, for basically, unless you were Tim, the year...
Well, I have no friends and go to bed early.
That is why you are constantly happier than all the rest of us.
Because people know I do not accept invitations.
The year ended
poorly. That's it. I'm just
going to
stay in.
That I wish I had, man.
All
that's,
you need is digital cable.
So,
and cable modem.
Let's see. Well, let's get a few of these here. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up, brother?
Well, if there's anything I've learned is that you don't date somebody who's got a radio show.
Yeah, well, my wife could tell you that.
Our New Year's was great, and I hope I didn't wake Tim up. But we're a bunch of pirates, so we had a whole bunch of rum and everything. We decided to break out our cannons and our blunderbusses and fire off, bring the new year in with a bunch of cannon fire. It was great.
Fantastic. You don't fire like something out of them, do you?
No, just the black powder, you know.
Excellent.
Rum, black powder, and a bunch of rowdy guys trying to one-up the guys down the street who had leftover 4th of July fireworks. So
yeah, it seems like you're going to win that combination.
But I just wanted to say Happy New Year. And
thank you, sir.
Sorry about the phone thing.
I'm sure we'll talk more about it. Thank you. This is Max. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, Sarah.
What's up?
How you guys doing?
Well,
hello.
You know.
Yeah. Well, my New Year's was exactly like Sarah's, complete with the relative dying, the huge fight 10 seconds before the ball drop, bringing in the brand new year, which was fantastic, and my best friend's wife of 7 years left him with a job and 2 kids. Decided to become an alcoholic.
Fantastic. So everybody pretty much had, really, it really is
did
everybody.
Did you have the white trash beer throwing, too? Because I don't think it's complete without that.
Oh, it was that bad, complete with her barking and cussing up the store in front of her own 2 children, and then drinking something, then leaving.
Sorry about that.
She started at the Sandy Hat right now, drinking herself into oblivion.
Well, it's what you do. Look at it, it can only get better, you know what I mean?
Can definitely only get better. Did you by any chance get to see the Star Wars exhibit before it closes?
I didn't, no. I didn't get a chance.
Dude, you missed out. They had all the original movie props.
I know.
The original thermal detonator and the probe device.
I know.
Everything, even the original Chewbacca suit.
I know. I'm lame. I didn't go to the premiere either, so no, I suck.
No, sir. You rock.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and I am spreading the faith like no other.
God bless you, Max.
God bless you too, sir.
There you go.
Bye.
Thank you. All right. Nate threw a beer back at you?
Mm-hmm.
Later?
No,
or
it was at the same vicinity. Yeah, but I was wearing like this fake fur, like a vest thing, and it was all covered.
That really is like the single, that's the trash moment there of the whole thing, is the throwing of the beer.
It totally was. I think I was just so frustrated. It was so bad.
Well, the throwing of the beer, I mean, here's the thing, not to keep going back to that, but those are the moments you hate because those are the moments that you realize that you have lost control.
Absolutely. Well, I was so frustrated because it was right before midnight. I'm like, let's just get it together before midnight. And he was sitting there, like, ignoring me.
Right.
And that was making me so mad. Then after many cocktails, like, I don't know. Something, like, snapped inside of me.
I dated a girl. This is a long, long time ago. But I dated a girl that, and I've talked about her before. But her, you know, we're just, too young to be together. And just, you know, all of that stuff that Lycus talks about. Too young and just dumb and stupid and whatever. But, you know, we just had that. I had no business trying to be in a stable relationship, blah, blah, blah. But we would have these fights, and occasionally, and you'll never, you know, this will come as a big surprise to everybody, but I was really a master of provoking, and I would just push and push and push and hit every red button I could just to be an a-hole. And her big thing is that I would push her and push her until she would lose it, and then she would full on, like, swing on me. And she would, like, I would be like, well, blah, blah, blah. And I would just jab every red button. I could just be in the biggest dick I could possibly be. And she would have enough. And she would, like, literally, like, go for the punch on me. And I remember this one time, like, And I'll never forget this moment. And it was, I think it was a holiday, too. I think it was like New Year's Eve. And,
it's always a holiday. I should just stay in on New Year's Eve.
I think it was like around Christmas time somewhere. I don't think it was New Year's Eve, but it was like Christmas time. Because I remember there being decorations up in the room where it happened. And we're fighting, and I'm like, well, blah, blah, blah. And I bring up something from the past, and I just stick it right in her face. And she just, without thinking, she just full on, like, swings like Mike Tyson on me. Like, with a fist, and not the open hand. She swings the fist at my face. I kind of move to avoid it, because I don't want to get punched in the face. Mm-hmm. So I move to avoid it. Her fist connects with, like, my neck or something, like, because I kind of duck. She punches me, clips the side of my neck, and I didn't hit her back. I should say that I have never struck a woman. But she punched, I moved, hit the side of my neck, and then just as a reflex, I just shoved her. As hard as I could, and I shoved her, and she went backward and tripped and went down and, like, cracked her head on a closet.
Oh, man.
And then suddenly you have that moment where, like, the storm clouds suddenly part, and you, like, you realize what is happening. Like, you are in a room, and, like, you were there with a girl who is, and you have just, like, physically gone after each other. And you realize that she has tried to punch you, and you have shoved her onto the ground, and that's, you just have that moment, you're like, where are we? Like, what is going on and what is happening? And those are the, and that's that moment where she punches, you move, you shove her, she's on the floor, and you're both, like, standing there with your fist clenched.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that moment of, like, okay, what just happened? And this is a very scary place to be right now.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe that he threw it back at me.
Yeah, because that, and that's terrifying, because you realize both that you have, like, that you both have lost control.
Absolutely.
And that you are just purely just like, how badly can I hurt you right now?
I don't know what happened.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was.
This is a great way to end today's show. Fantastic.
It's okay.
Best show ever.
Yeah.
Tom, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, Sarah, your guys' pain makes riveting radio, let me tell you.
Hey, that's what we do.
Fantastic. Hey, I was going to suggest maybe using the power of the airwaves and giving us a description and license plate number, and we'll find your car for you, Rick.
Maybe. I mean, I'm gonna give it to the, I appreciate that. I'm going to give the cops like a couple days, I think, to track it down, because I figure that the car is no longer being driven. The truck, they drove it till it ran out of gas, and then they abandoned it. I figure the car has already been abandoned, but it's because of the reduction in manpower, the cops just haven't located it, hauled it back, processed it, and called me yet. That's kind of my thing. So, who knows?
I was going to say, between delivery drivers and mailmen, you have more street coverage than the police do.
No, it's true. It's true, and I know, I really mean this, and I really appreciate it, because I know that all I would have to do is, like, put out the word, like, look for this truck with this license plate number. All I would have to do to say that, and I know that people would keep their eyes peeled, they would look for that. I totally know that, and I appreciate it, because I know that you guys would do that. And who knows? We'll see. Well, I'm going to give the cops a few days and see what happens. And one way or the other, though, when I get that truck back, I'm going to dump that thing. So I'm going to pawn that off on some unsuspecting nitwit as soon as I possibly can. So, all right.
Well, we're glad to have you back, and it can only go uphill from here. So, best show ever, and definitely spreading the word.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you, Tom. All right, there you go. That's Tom. Boy, you know, I'm kind of glad, actually, we brought this up at the end of the show, because you know it would have been 4 hours of, like, relationship talk.
No, it's fine. I'm zen with it. I mean, I was trashy as trashy. I don't know what's going to happen with the phone.
Well,
I don't have $400. Like, yeah. I just, it's not going to happen.
Well, and I just, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I know that Nate is not a liar. He does not lie. I really genuinely think he believes that I broke his phone. But I think that something might have happened between midnight and, you know, after 1:30 when he text messaged me.
Well, and especially if you're just all hosed, I mean, him or you or both of you, who knows what will happen to the phone?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, it, I, you know, who's to say what happens between midnight and 6? So, yeah, Rick, and this is just to clarify, by the way, and this is why when that promo we run, if we had time, we'd play that promo about saving a cell phone. Use 99% pure isopropyl denatured alcohol, because rubbing alcohol is 30% water. So, yeah, it's denatured alcohol, pure denatured alcohol that you were supposed to use for that.
And that's the thing that's most unfair, is now it's destroyed. We'll never know the actual reason, because it's been dunked in a, you know, cup of liquid.
Yeah. Well, it actually might still be salvageable through the real method. If you can find pure denatured alcohol and soak it now. Because the deal is, what it is when you soak it in alcohol, it diffuses the water immediately. and then, because you think of liquid of alcohol as being wet, and you think of it as being water, but it's not pure alcohol. It's not water. It's like how oil isn't water. It's liquidy, but it's not water. Pure alcohol gets rid of the water instantly, and then you dry it out to get rid of the alcohol, and then theoretically the phone will come back to life. Now the phone's not going to be perfect. It does, because that alcohol screws up some of the other things.
Mm-hmm.
But if what you need is to, if the options are that or getting a new phone, that can save a phone.
I'll give that a shot this afternoon and see what happens.
So, you know, it's true. Let's see here. Well, okay. What? Sarah should save messages for proof that phone worked. Well, I think he's claiming that the phone went dead later.
Yeah, because I showed him the message.
All right. Is this mailman Chris? No, it's not. This is a different Chris. Is this on the hotline? Is this mailman Chris on the hotline? Hello, sir.
Hey.
Hey, let's pretend that your sounder's playing right here.
Okay, Happy New Year to you.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Best year ever.
Totally.
So, you know, it's my day off. It's a federal day.
Yeah, this
of
is a federal day of mourning. My wife gets paid today for a whole lot of nothing, for sitting around on her ass.
And, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So, everybody's dead. Bob, news highlights from 2006, celebrity deaths. What you did on New Year's Eve, vehicular fun, why you took your time off. I didn't hear the Indiana Jones news.
Oh, no, we didn't get to that.
And I didn't hear anything about how fat you are.
Oh, no, we did.
We did the weigh-in.
We did the weigh-in.
Did you do that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
We did the weigh-in. We didn't do
and
my...
And actually lost weight. Which
yeah,
was
I did lose weight, so in your face. Yeah.
So that puts you at one push-up for the new year.
All right, one. So and the thing is now that we have to do them, you know, every week, so...
Right, and we're forgiving you the three that you didn't get on the week you were sick?
We're calling it a wash. We're starting anew.
Calling it a wash.
Yeah. All right.
Excellent. So,
Thank you, my friend.
You know, good luck with your cars. You know, get an alarm at least.
Dude, I know. Well, it's like that. The thing is, truck is just not worth any of the things that would have prevented this, like a new alarm system or theft insurance. That's the thing.
But you've paid that much in impound fees to get it back three
times.
That's
true.
Probably. No more. No more. I'm going to sell that, and I'm not going to bother to tell the buyer either, man. Nobody told me, and I'm not going to tell them.
And you know what's really funny?
Huh?
This holiday season, my family, everything was perfect.
Maybe it's opposite month or something.
I don't know. I don't have any horror stories to tell you because my kids have actually been well behaved. And...
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll speak to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Mailman Chris. There you go. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. We want to thank Dick Iuliano, Bob Costantini, and Jim Roop. Coming up tomorrow, Dennis Pitzenbarger on the Rick Emerson Radio program. We are back. We are live. As always, don't let the bastard drain you down. Like us next. Don and Mike return live tonight, 4 hours from now, 7 o'clock. See y'all tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Dave Zinn. Bye. Bye.